You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Tonight I'm going to be ministering on the topic of manifested faith. Now, you may not know the term manifested faith because I just kind of made it up. But let me explain what I call manifested faith. Manifested faith is faith that you can see and hear. Probably a good example of it in Scripture was the four friends that had a friend that was paralyzed, and they brought him to Jesus. Jesus was preaching in a small home, and they couldn't get in because of the crowd, so they crawled up on the roof, took the man, tore up the roof, and let the man down. And the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Now, faith is invisible, but you can hear it, and you can see the action. It's manifested faith. And you write this down. This is so important. Manifested faith always will result in outward change. In other words, it's impossible to have manifested faith in your life without it resulting in some type of outward change in your life. And now when I say this, I'm talking about forgiveness as well. A lot of people say, well, forgiveness, you know, you can't see it. Even forgiveness has an outward manifestation, because the feeling of guilt and condemnation leave you when God forgives you. Isn't that right? And you can go as far as the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a feeling that is produced from your inner man, your spirit. Joy is a feeling. Peace is a feeling. Love is a feeling. Self-control is something that is displayed in your actions. All of those things are manifestations of your faith. So as we look at this tonight, what my purpose is to get you to understand that whatever you're facing in your life, if you have manifested faith, it's going to result in an outward positive change in your life. But what is also true about manifested faith is manifested fear will result in outward negative change in your life. Amen? So with that in mind, I want you to look back into Deuteronomy 28, and I want to show you the blessings of Abraham. Now, without getting into a lot of detail on this, we know that we've been blessed with the blessings of Abraham. We know that in Galatians. But I want to show you why in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would reveal blessings in physical ways. Yet in the New Testament, when you study the Scriptures, it emphasizes the spiritual. It says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. But in the Old Testament, it reveals those blessings in some physical way, whether by increase of prosperity or divine healing. Something physical manifests, and it describes it as that. That's because the Old Testament believers were not spiritual like you are. They were not born again. They were not regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit like we have. So in the New Testament, it emphasizes the spiritual because we are spiritual beings if you've accepted Christ. But the point I'm trying to say is that your spiritual blessings will always result in a physical manifestation. Are you hearing me? So look here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 2 through 8, and notice what it says. It says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now watch this. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be the basket and the kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you and be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And the Lord commanded the blessings on you in your storehouses, in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, how many would all agree these blessings are external blessings? But they don't happen without the manifestation of faith in your life. If there's a manifestation of faith, it's going to result in you be blessed in the city and the country. In other words, you're going to have outward favor even when you're in the country. Outward favor even when you're in the city. And God's going to bless whatever you put your hand to do. And when he mentions storehouses, he's not talking about something spiritual. He's talking about something that can contain the increase that God wants to give you. And if you read on, it goes on farther and talks about you will lend and not borrow. Those are material things. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because in the church, religion has come in. And when I say religion, I mean it in a negative way. Religion is the doctrine of men and not the doctrine of the Bible. What happens over hundreds of years is men get in and put interpretations of Scripture that aren't always scriptural, and people embrace those things in their life. And what the result of that is, many people, when they think about Christianity, they think about, well, it's just I have a spiritual blessing. And they believe in spiritual healing, but they don't believe in physical healing. They believe in spiritual provision, but not outward provision in their life. But when you have manifested faith, it always manifests in a physical way in your life. Even what we're waiting for, the rapture, that is going to result in not a spiritual body, but a physical body that is incorruptible. Jesus, when he appeared, he said, I'm not a spirit, I'm flesh. And ate to prove to them he wasn't a spirit. It was a physical manifestation of him that was incorruptible that all of us are going to enjoy one of these days. So whatever you're struggling with tonight, we're going to look in the Word. We're going to find the spiritual blessing connected to it. But if the thing is, you have to manifest that spiritual blessing. And if you do, it will always have a positive outcome. It'll always affect something physically because of it. And if you don't believe that, you really don't have manifested faith. When people went to Jesus, they weren't looking for just a spiritual healing. They were looking for a physical healing. When that woman went to Jesus and her son had died, she was looking for a physical resurrection. She was looking for Jesus to do something more than just spiritual. And I believe that that's what manifested faith will do. It'll curse a fig tree. It'll wither up from the roots. It will give you a physical outcome using their faith in that way. Now we know that because Mark 11, 24 says, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Shall have it is the physical results of your manifested faith that you received. And tonight, wherever you're at, in relationships, in your career, God wants you to receive spiritually manifested faith so that things can change in your life from, oh, praise God, from that spiritual blessing that is inside of you. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah or something? I mean, to me, this is so life-changing because I went to church for years in a very traditional church, and all they did is talk about love one another, which is great. But I'm talking about the power of God changing your physical state, joy, peace. You ever see somebody really depressed and then the joy of the Lord comes on them? All of a sudden, they've replaced that spirit of heaviness with a spirit of joy. It is a manifestation of a feeling that wasn't there before, that their faith changes. Some of you need that tonight. Maybe you're depressed, and I'm telling you to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because the Bible says that in his presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? So manifested faith then is when you can see what you believe in your words and in your actions. You can see it. One individual was sharing a little bit about how they were standing in faith for a spouse, and one of the things that they were doing is, besides believing that they had a spouse coming, they started sleeping on the side of the bed instead of the middle of the bed. Because once you get a husband, then you got to give him all the bed. That's supposed to be funny, but it didn't work, praise God. Amen. So what I'm talking about at this point is very positive. But the same thing is true in the negative sense, that manifested fear will always result in a negative outcome in your life. And we all have things to fear about, whether being nuked by Russia or whatever. There's lots of things to fear about. But as a Christian, we have to be beyond that. Let me give you an example of this in Scripture. If you remember the story of Job, and I'd all highly recommend that you study that book because it's very important. It shows you the power of fear. In the story, it said that Satan came before God. And keep in mind, that only occurs in the Old Testament all the way up to the resurrection of Christ, because after the resurrection of Christ, Satan was kicked out of heaven. But at this point, he is still going to heaven. And you remember Jesus said to Peter, he said this. He says, Satan has demanded to sift you as wheat. Now, he's going before God demanding things. Why? Because he had access to heaven because people were spiritually dead. And he could bring that as an avenue to get to the person. Well, that's what happened to Job. And Job was so blessed, he was one of the wealthiest influential people in the East. He was blessed. But Job says, after all the heartache hits him, all the trouble hits him, and he loses his kids, loses his wealth, he says this. He says, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. And you say, why would that happen? I'll tell you exactly why. It's called the fear of success. Many Christians feel like if they get blessed too much, something terrible is going to happen to them to balance it out. Because they know they're not perfect. Anyone that's perfect is a liar. Amen? And that's what Job's problem was. He was blessed so much that there was this underlying current of fear in his life, and that fear is how Satan found access into his life. Why God gave him permission. Now, this is very important you hear this point. In the Old Testament, God would determine how much Satan can do in their life. After Satan was kicked out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12, so I don't have time to go into it, all authority was given to the church, the body. So we're the ones that determine how much access he gets in our life. Did you hear me? We're the ones that determine whether he comes in to steal, kills, and destroy or not. We are the ones, and through sanctification, we can keep him out, at least to some measure, as we're accomplishing the will of God. Amen? And we can win every battle. But Job didn't have that privilege, and it wasn't until the end of the book that he realized that that fear had no power in his life and that with God, he could overcome it. And you see that in the last chapter where he repents of the fear, and then it says God blessed him with a double blessing. Amen. Now, he never could have had the double blessing if he had the fear of success. So God removed that from him. Amen? And some of you need to remove that in your life. Say, well, we're blessed so much. Listen, the blessing doesn't come because you're perfect. It comes because Jesus is perfect. It becomes because he is your source. Don't limit what God can do for you, and don't base it on, well, I was good this week and I was bad that week. That's not the way you get good. You get good through his righteousness, not your own. Through believing in his righteousness, you begin to change your life and move in the direction that God wants you to be. But God's not blessing you because of the things that you do. He's blessing you because of the things Jesus has done in your life. Now, as I begin to study this message and meditate on it, one of the things that I wanted to emphasize is the way that we respond to trouble is really going to determine whether or not we have continued manifested faith. And whatever troubles in your life, marriage, children, finances, always respond in love through faith. If you respond in love through faith, you will always get a positive outcome. If you don't respond in love through faith, you will get a negative outcome. In other words, you don't overcome it by anger. You don't overcome it by fleshly ego or determination. You overcome it by faith through love. And there's a verse in Proverbs 15:11. It says this. It says, a soft word turns away wrath. In other words, you get somebody really mad. You don't want to throw gas on the fire. What you want to do is de-escalate the problem. And the way you de-escalate it is not by getting mad too, but by speaking a soft word. In other words, you're going to walk in love. And I'll give you an example of this. In fact, put Romans, if you would, up on the screen. Listen how Paul describes it. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now that is there's a lot of misunderstanding, people reading that verse. They go, all right, that's really going to hurt him. No, that's actually an act of kindness. In the Bedouin deserts, when they would have fights between tribes, there was an unwritten law that said this. After they fought during the day, people got hurt, cut, whatever. At night, they would go back to their camp. And if their enemy's fire went out, they wouldn't have the resources then to help treat the wounded and so forth. And so what they would do is they would send over, and usually a woman would do this, and they would take coals and they would carry them on their head in these big pots. Didn't burn the woman. She would carry it on her head over to them, give it to them to keep the fire so that they could heal the sick and mend those that are wounded and so forth. It, almost like in wartime, there's still some laws that we do, you know. That's what it means. And I've seen this work in my own life because my background was violence. Someone burns you, you hurt them. Someone messes you up, you just, you know, cold cock them. That's what you do. And so I get saved, everything changes. I can't hit people, especially in church. It just doesn't work. But what you have to do is walk in love towards them. And God will turn things around. And this happened to Joyce and I. We were on 6 acres living in a module home. And, of course, the home wasn't built yet. It was 6 acres that we had. And it was out there on Auburn Black Diamond. And it was a great piece of land. It was 6 acres. And when we got the property, we drove up to it, and there was a big, beautiful metal gate there. And then a road that went to our property, and then the property behind our property, the guy that lived there. And I said, I really like that gate. That'd be great to have a gate, keep people out. And I told my wife, I want to keep the gate. But the guy in the back that was behind us, that had acreage too, he wanted the gate gone. And so one day when I was at work, he tore up the gate. My gate. 50% of that gate's mine. He tears it up, removes it. I come home, I'm about ready to beat somebody. But I'm praying, I'm Christian, I'm a minister, I don't want to do that. And so I prayed about it and said, you know, I'm just going to let him have his way. And I remember I walked back to his place, which is about half an acre or a half a block. And I was walking back there. He was on a backhoe. And he was digging some hole for his place. And he sees me, and he jumps off the backhoe, runs at me. He says, you want to go to court? We'll go to court. And I said, hold the boat, man. I said, if you want that gate gone, that's okay with me. I've thought about it. Go ahead and take it. And he just cooled down. And then what was crazy about this, I walked back and you think, boy, I really had a disadvantage. I didn't. Because I went back and then later we had to run at least for 2 city blocks, a water line, which means I needed a backhoe to dig the ditch. And he comes over and he says, I tell you what, I will dig your ditch for you for free. 2 blocks. So he dug the ditch for free for me, saved me thousands and thousands of dollars simply because I did, instead of responding in like with anger and frustration, I just blessed him. Say amen, everybody. And that's what Paul's trying to say. You overcome evil with good. And so when you're manifesting faith and love in your life, it always results in a reward. But if you try to overcome just by pure anger or just by your own willpower, all you're doing is empowering the things in your life that you don't want to, your flesh. And how many know your flesh can be a real problem? If you try to solve a marriage problem by the flesh, you will produce more marriage problems. But if you try to solve a marriage problem with faith, it'll begin to give you solutions to it. In other words, you don't solve a marriage problem by writing a big list of everything wrong with your husband or writing everything wrong with your wife. That's not how you do it. The way you do it is write a list on what's right with them and focus in on what's right with him, and whatever is right with him, if you use your faith, will begin to multiply in his life, and it will outshine the other things that you don't like in his life until eventually it'll erase the rest of those things. Can you say amen? I know this seems crazy, but it does work. You don't solve problems by being negative. You solve problems by being positive in the faith. Not negative in the faith, positive. Now, is it all right if I go a little deep here tonight, a little bit? Because I just, this is something I've been pondering for quite a while. If you've been here for very long at all, you've seen me do 2 things that are weird.
Just two?
Just two. I know you love me. Okay. I will preach scriptures that deal with eternal life, and I'll emphasize you being saved forever. And then I'll preach other verses that emphasize losing your salvation. And people go, well, how can you preach eternal salvation when you preach you can lose salvation? Let me tell you why I do that and where it started. Years ago, when I went to Bible school, before I went there, I had an appointment with a very high up official in a denomination, and don't ask me later what denomination it is. I don't want to badmouth the denomination. But it was way up, big shot. And I went into this big ivory office with this huge desk, and this guy spent a half an hour trying to convince me not to do what the Spirit of God told me to do. The Spirit of God had told me to go to Rhema Bible Training Center, and he spent a half an hour trying to convince me that that was not right. And I said, the Lord's telling me to do it. And all the time that he's talking to me, the Holy Spirit is saying, you're doing the right thing. And afterwards, the Lord said this to me. He said, I don't want you ever to hook up with any denomination. And he said, the reason why is because with every denomination, there is the men of, or doctrine of men that have crept in, and it's going to be harder for you to preach what I want you to preach if you do that. But if you just have an independent church, that of course is in fellowship with all churches, but just one that stands on the word itself, you won't have that problem, and that's what we did. And so when I'm studying scripture, I teach things that the Baptists teach. I teach things that charismatics teach. I teach things that the Word of Faith people teach. And to tell you the truth, none of them have it all. But everybody seems to have a little bit of light in certain topics. And I have the liberty to do that. It's like once saved, always saved. I'll tell you how I believe concerning that. I believe that when you are born again, and if you place faith in the salvation package, it is forever. In other words, you're never going to lose it. If you place your faith in that salvation package, But if you don't, you can lose it. But on the other hand, I'm not up here to tell you that you can lose your salvation the way that many people say you can. Many people say you can lose your salvation if you've committed a sin before you die. If that's true, I don't think there'll be very many of us up there. Say amen. It's true. And when I was in the Catholic Church, they used to have the difference between mortal sin and venial sin. And if you had a venial sin, you know, you go to this other little place and stay there a while. But eventually you're going to get to heaven. But mortal sin, whoo, man, forget about that. And the mortal sins were things like this, suicide. But yet I can show you in Scripture people who committed suicide that made it to heaven. Remember Samson? Muscle man, he pulled down those pillars. He killed himself. I realize it was a worthy cause, but nevertheless, it's suicide. King Saul fell on his own sword so he would be captured by the enemy, and we know that he was with Samuel the prophet in paradise because that's what Samuel told him when he was when he came up from the dead and talked to him that time. And when you're ministering to people, you have good people that have mental illnesses, that have committed suicide. And I just want to be biblical about this. If that is the sin that puts you in hell, then so be it. But that's not what puts us in hell. What puts people in hell is when they take their salvation package and push it away and say, I don't want to have Christ anymore. I don't want him in my life anymore. And you can't even commit that sin unless you are mature, have had the gifts of the Spirit operate in your life. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. Person that was once in light, tasted the heavenly gift, been born again, partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If he falls away, it's impossible to renew him again because it crucifies afresh the Son of God again. That's someone, it's not about the person committing adultery or lying or stealing. It's someone that's rejecting Christ. It was Jewish people that had been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, that wanted to go back to Judaism because of the persecution. They were willing to say, that's no good, and whatever, they were willing to walk away from it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says that if you go on willfully sinning after you receive the knowledge of Christ or the full knowledge of Christ, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. There's no way that you can get saved. The only sacrifice you can accept that gets you saved is Jesus. Now that's different, isn't it? So one view gets rid of insecurity in your faith. The other view that says, you do this and you sin and you do this and you're going to end up in heaven. Then you're wondering, have I done the sin? Maybe because I'm late at church or maybe because I haven't been in church enough. And it goes so far as people, and bless their hearts, that get divorced. Marry someone else. And then someone comes up and says, listen, you can't do that. You're living in adultery. You didn't have grounds to get divorced. So, but yet they go into Scripture, and it says it's an abomination to marry your first wife again. So they're thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or not, but yet the Scripture says that. I want you to understand something. God will forgive sins. Period. It doesn't matter what kind of sins there are, he will forgive them in your faith. And people are not saved because they're perfect. They're not saved because they don't stumble. They're saved because they receive the gift of salvation, which, by the way, is Jesus Christ. Because once you believe on Christ, he comes to dwell inside of you, and the branch is connected to the vine. And as long as you're connected with the vine, as long as you have Christ, you have eternal life. And I'm getting excited right now because that eternal life is what causes us to live forever. It's Jesus in us that causes us to live forever. And I'm saying that because it's so important that you continue to manifest your faith in what you say and what you do in your life, in your lifestyle. You need to manifest your faith. You do that, and there's not going to be any insecurity in your life. You do that, and you're going to be able to get a breakthrough in your life. You do that, and you're going to be able to go over to the top. You do that, you're going to be able to get blessed coming and going. And remember this, God is not going to drag anyone to heaven. People that go, once I get saved, doesn't matter what I do, you know, and they almost have this concept. I accepted Christ when I was a teenager. And then I went and did my own life and did what I wanted to do and didn't have nothing to do with Jesus. And now I've died, I'm standing before God, and God said, all right, you're coming up here. I know you weren't serving me all of your life, but you're coming with me. Oh, wait a minute. I want to stay with my friends, and my friends are going to hell. No, you're coming with me. Forget about it. You don't get to go to heaven or don't get to go to hell. It's not like that. You will always have a free will. God will bring us to heaven because we want to be with him, not because he forces us. Hallelujah. So, with all that in mind, we're back to this same principle. My faith has to be manifested before it produces a physical result of my life. If I'm depressed, I can't get a physical manifestation of joy unless I count it all joy and start to dance and shout and do something to activate that faith in my life. And if I'm willing to activate my faith, that faith in my life, there's going to be a manifestation of joy. Now, I know this works. Man, I've talked to people who have lost loved ones that practiced that, and they were depressed, but they just started to praise God. And the peace of God and the joy of the Lord came over their heart, and it almost seemed like, boy, you're not grieving. No. They're getting a manifestation from their faith. And besides that, you think your spouse wants you to be bummed out because they're in heaven and you're here? Do you think they want you to be miserable? No, they want you to dance around and shout to the Lord, and they're going to be up in heaven getting a room ready for you. Can you say amen? Come on. We gotta get excited about this. When there is a manifestation of faith in your life, it's going to result in a physical outcome. It's going to change the way you feel in your life. And I believe in spiritual healing, but it always results in physical peace or the feeling of joy and peace in your life. Where you can go to sleep at night and not have nightmares anymore. You don't feel that edge inside of you. And I've dealt with people in the military that have had these things. If you manifest faith, it'll drive it out. But you got to decide, Lord, I believe I've received. I believe you've given me every spiritual blessing. What I need to do is get into the shopping mall that you put within me and receive whatever it is, whether it's physical healing, whether it's mental healing, I need to receive it and I need to envision that in my life until it manifests in some way in my life. Negativity, all it does is manifest your worries and your fears. It adds to what you're already worried about. And the more you worry, the bigger the pile gets. But if you would just manifest the promise in your life through your faith, God would begin to alter and change everything in your life.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River App, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.